Today, we'll talk about why you should not skip Animal Kingdom on your Disney World trip. That's coming up on this episode 117 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 117, where we are going to give Animal Kingdom some love because I think it's often a very underrated park. Before we do that, I want to, as always, remind you to follow on social media, and that includes Facebook page, Pinterest accounts, Twitter, Instagram, etc. Just find me under WDW Prep School there and follow along. I also want to tell you, as we head into the holiday season, that episode 67 of the podcast has holiday music from the parks. I will not be doing another one of those this year because the music's already in episode 67, but feel free to go back to that old episode and play it because it's a lot of music. I think it's perfect for if you're decorating Christmas tree and things like that around the house. It's fun to listen to. So be sure to do that. I also want to thank you for your patience because I know these episodes have been getting out a little bit later than normal. And that is because of a lot of things. And this happens to me every holiday season. This is the fourth holiday season that I've had since starting the website and the third since starting the podcast. And for me, the holiday season usually begins in mid-November because it's my son's birthday. And all of our family's birthdays are during the holiday season through end of January, February 1st. And so it's just a lot packed in to a short amount of time. And I get kind of overwhelmed trying to balance family stuff and work stuff. And so I'm just going to ask you, I'm going to thank you for being patient, but I'm going to ask you to continue to be patient as we get through the holiday season and try to maintain that balance. So today we are going to talk about Animal Kingdom. So some background about my Disney World trips. So my trips mostly are sort of task-based. I go into every trip with a to-do list of things I want to check out and new things I want to experience or things I want to research. So my trips are not like most people's trips generally. They are there to sort of research, but sometimes I play tour guide. And that was the case in November. I was there for 9 days with my friend Krista for the whole time, and she and I were doing lots of interesting things that we had never done before. But then Casey, who runs the DLR Prep School site, arrived for the last few days, and we were tour guides for her. And so we wanted to make sure in the time that we had with her that we went to all four parks. And so we were trying to figure out what to do with her. And one of the things that I kept debating was if we should go to Animal Kingdom because she had briefly been before and was not a fan. And so I said to her, do you want to go to Animal Kingdom during your November trip? And she said, I want to do whatever you think I should do to do the best of Disney World. So I said, well, of course we have to go to Animal Kingdom then. And I'm even going to throw in some things that you may not think you'll like, and we'll see how it goes. And so that's exactly what I did. And I actually called her just today and asked her about her thoughts about Animal Kingdom. And here's how that went.
Hey, Casey.
Hello.
So I wanted to just ask you your thoughts about Animal Kingdom real quick.
Okay.
All right. So before our last trip, which was in early November, you had thoughts about Animal Kingdom. So I just want you to talk about like what you thought before that trip and then how you felt about it afterwards.
Before that trip, I didn't really have any interest in going to Animal Kingdom. I had been briefly before and just didn't fall in love with it like I wanted to. And really, even before then, I wasn't super excited to go. But after, it was a completely different experience. And I absolutely fell in love with the entire park, all of it. So I'm anxious to go back for sure.
What made you like it the second time?
The theming. Actually slowing down and looking at all of the details. I think that that is what separates that park from the other three parks on site at Disney World. The theming is just so detailed above and beyond, I think, the parks. And that's hard to say with Epcot and Magic Kingdom involved in that scenario. But It's just so good. I loved every bit of it.
And were there particular parts of it that you thought were better other than the theming? Like, I know you really like Festival of the Lion King, even though you're not a show person.
I'm not a show person. I love the show. It was just long enough. It was energetic. It kept my interest. Most shows I clue out about halfway in. I just get bored. Loved that. I thought the safari was really well done, and I was kind of dreading it because when you do safaris elsewhere, they tend to drag on and on and on, and you see 12 different variations of the same deer that look the same, at least in my head. But this one was the perfect time frame. And it seems like the animals, although they were spread out in their natural habitat, were close enough together that you didn't lose interest from one setting to the next. So I thought it was really well done.
And I also happen to know that you really liked Expedition Everest.
Oh my gosh. Favorite ride in all of the 6 Disney theme parks that I have ever visited. I think it's the best ride ever.
Wow. That's high praise. I happen to agree with you, but I'm surprised to hear you say that.
I know, because I will almost always choose Disneyland over Disney World, but you can't beat that ride. Every part about it, the queue, the actual ride itself, the smoothness, the effects, even the element of surprise. I've been on it a few times and I still am not sure exactly when we're going to go backwards and wait, we're going forward again, but we're not going up that hill. It was amazing. I totally loved it.
Okay. So I'll just consider that mission accomplished that you now like Animal Kingdom.
Yes. Well done. You've turned me.
All right. Good. All right. Well, thanks for chatting with me.
Sure.
So a lot of people feel like Casey before their Disney World trips. They either think of Animal Kingdom as a zoo, and Casey happens to live near San Diego where they have a great zoo. But our family doesn't even do zoos. It's nothing against zoos. We just aren't into them. We don't find them that interesting. And so I think it's a mistake just to view it as a zoo because it's not. A lot of people view Animal Kingdom as a half-day park, which I totally understand, given that it does have less to do than the other parks and it closes earlier than the other parks because there isn't a night show going on right now. So I sort of get that reputation's there. And if you're trying to figure out like, you know, the best bang for your buck, why you might cross it off. But I just would urge you to strongly consider it for your trip as more than a zoo and as more than a half day park, especially because there's new stuff coming to Animal Kingdom. So I already think Animal Kingdom's worth a visit. But in spring of 2016, there is a night show called Rivers of Light that's coming. And Disney keeps releasing details about it. There have been not only the official announcements, but the auditions website has been interesting to see who they're casting for the different roles. And it sounds like it's going to be so amazing. Like there's zero chance that I'm not going to be in tears after seeing it because it seems beautiful. It's been compared to World of Color, which is at California Adventure in California at Disneyland, which is a water show. And they can't do fireworks like they can at the other parks because of the animals, but they can do this beautiful water show. And so I'm just really looking forward to that. And I don't know the exact date for that because Disney has only said spring 2016, but I'm looking forward to that. So that will be, you know, make it a more of a reason to stay at the park. There's also a new signature restaurant coming in spring 2016, which I'll talk about in the news portion of this episode. So that'll be something nice. Signature restaurant is basically another word for fancy and more expensive and 2 dining plan credits usually. So that'll be something unique to have at Animal Kingdom because it hasn't had that level of restaurant before. And then in 2017, Pandora World of Avatar is a whole new section of Animal Kingdom that I'm excited about. I was a fan of Pandora the movie, but I know a lot of people weren't. But even if you aren't, you can't hear the Imagineers who have worked on it talk about it and not get excited. They are excited about it. So I think that what Animal Kingdom has is a great base that they have created so far with, as you heard Casey say, fantastic theming. And they have good restaurants and they have good attractions with Expedition Everest being Casey's favorite and my favorite. And the fact that it has a single rider line. So if you want to use a single rider line, you can actually ride it multiple times easily, which I love. They have the Kilimanjaro Safari, which is the other headliner. And there's also the best shows at Animal Kingdom. Festival of the Lion King is a show that I think everybody should see when you go to Animal Kingdom, even if you're not a show person, which is why I took Casey there, because I was fairly sure that she would like it, even as a non-show person. If you are a show person or show family, I would also recommend going to the Finding Nemo, the musical show. It's much more sort of Broadway style. The music was written by Kristen and Bobby Lopez, who did Frozen, Avenue Q, Book of Mormon. And so our family loves it because we are a Broadway loving family. But I think that not everybody is going to love it as much as we do. But if you do love Broadway shows, definitely go see that. It's hard to not see the value and the shows alone, in my opinion, at Animal Kingdom. And then already mentioned the theming and the restaurant. So you've got a really fantastic base in Animal Kingdom, and it's only going to get better as they continue to add more and more stuff to it. Now, there are a couple of downsides to Animal Kingdom. One is that it's really hot. The weather... I can't figure out exactly why it feels really hot, except that I do know that a lot of the queues are outside and the restaurants. So it's sort of like in the other parks, you find yourself going in and out a lot more. So you're in the air conditioning, you might be hot for a while, but you know you're going to be in the air conditioning again shortly. But at Animal Kingdom, you don't get that kind of relief for sure. And so I think that's definitely a downside of Animal Kingdom. Another thing that Casey mentioned to me after I stopped recording our conversation was that she thinks that the fact that it looks like a zoo, it's very animal themed, might not initially make people like it as much, particularly kids. And so if you go to Magic Kingdom or Epcot, it's no doubt that you're in a theme park and it's new and you're sort of in a new element if you've never been before. Animal Kingdom isn't that, even though the theming's fantastic, it has a different vibe. And so it could be that kids don't initially love it because it feels somewhat familiar to them, maybe like a zoo. And so that can be a downside and maybe not appealing right up front. But I do think it's worth the time and worth checking out. So anyway, definitely consider Animal Kingdom and make sure you can add it to your trip. I think if you have a trip that's over a few days in length, that Animal Kingdom certainly deserves a spot in your plans. So let's talk a little bit about news. Some of it does involve Animal Kingdom. First of all, Flights of Wonder, which is a bird show at Animal Kingdom, which I took Casey to, and she said, "Oh my gosh, you're taking me to a bird show." And then she loved it. It doesn't have a Fast Pass Plus, or it hasn't, but it will beginning in late November, maybe around November 25th, it will have a Fast Pass Plus available. I don't recommend it. I just wanted to let you know that it is going to be an option. And then at Animal Kingdom, I mentioned that a signature restaurant is coming in spring 2016. The Disney Parks blog said the name will be Tiffin's, T-I-F-F-I-N-S, and it says Tiffin's will celebrate the art of traveling, featuring a diverse menu drawing from places that inspired the creation of Animal Kingdom. It will be open for both lunch and dinner and will include waterfront views from indoor and outdoor seating areas. That's good, since a lot of Animal Kingdom is just outdoors. And it says, and if you're wondering about the story behind the name, Tiffin is an Indian English word for a midday meal or a type of container used to carry food while traveling. So that sounds great. It's going to be located near Pizza Fari, which has been closed for a while as they create this new restaurant. So that'll be fun to check out in the spring. Another piece of news, let's hop over to Epcot. And they had a couple things pop up. Mission Space appears to be becoming a Tier 1 FastPass Plus option at Epcot. So if you are unfamiliar with FastPass Plus tiers, Epcot and Hollywood Studios have tiers, meaning they have like Group 1, Tier 1, where you can make a FastPass Plus reservation in that group, and then your other two have to come from Tier 2 attractions. The Epcot attractions that are in Tier 1 are the two most popular ones are Soarin' and Test Track. But with Soarin' being closed the beginning of 2016, they are instead making Mission Space a Tier 1. I do not recommend it as a Tier 1. The only Tier 1 I recommend for the beginning of 2016 is Test Track. So I would focus on that, but Mission Space will be available. Also at Epcot, Disney just announced that the Flower and Garden Festival will take place for longer in 2016 than in previous years. So usually it lasts about 75 days, but for 2016, it will actually last for 90 days, beginning March 2nd and going through May 30th. Now, this is likely because of the closures at Epcot, because you won't have Soarin' as an option, and Maelstrom was closed in Epcot so that the Frozen ride can open. And so there'll be two things that won't be available yet until probably around June or so, if I was had to guess. And so now we have the Flower and Garden Festival going through May 30th instead of ending at the first part of May. So it's something to check out. What else did we have? We have Liberty Tree Tavern has been closed for a long refurbishment period, and it is now reopening later this week, meaning Thanksgiving week, and reservations for November and December have popped up and are now available. So if you are going last week of November, first part or last part of December, anytime in December, and you've been wanting a reservation there, I would go ahead and check for that now because reservations had just popped up recently. And finally, the park hours have been extended for December. And as a result, more FastPass Plus reservations have opened up, including the always popular Anna and Elsa. So if you happen to be going in December, be sure to check for those and snag any last minute reservations before your trip. I think that will wrap up the news for this week. I do have a quick tip, which is phone related. I'm always obsessed with phone tips because they become such an important part of Disney World trips. And the tip is to use the low battery setting on your iPhone. So if you have an iPhone, you may have noticed when it gets down to a certain level, like I think it's under 20%, it says, do you want to go into low power mode? But you can actually put your phone in low power mode manually by going to the settings on your phone and selecting the low power mode option. When you put it in low power mode, it will reduce your phone's power consumption by reducing or turning off certain things that happen in the background, such as fetching your mail, refreshing apps, downloading apps automatically, and some visual effects like the parallax effect will be disabled. But if you use this, then it can extend the battery life of your phone. So I always recommend having an external battery charger because there's nothing more helpless feeling than not having your phone and trying to run around and find an outlet in the middle of your Disney World trip. But this could extend the life of your battery with very little, effect to the functionality on the phone. And that way it will lengthen the time that it takes before you have to plug in, whether it's to your external battery or to the wall. So that is my tip. And if you have any other tips that you would like to share, always feel free to email me. Sometimes the tips are the hardest part of putting together the podcast because I feel like, okay, at this point I've shared 117 tips. So how many more do I have in me? But feel free to share yours with me if you want to email me. I am glad to pass those on. So I think that will wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. I want to wish you, if you're in the United States and Canada, a happy Thanksgiving. And I think that'll wrap it up until next time. For more information on the show, you can visit www.prepschool.com/episode117. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.